Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 8, day 2 of our study of 2 Corinthians. I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and today we're talking about 2 Corinthians 10, 7 through 11. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us. God, speak to us and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 2 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 7. You are judging by appearances. If anyone is confident that they belong to Christ, they should consider again that we belong to Christ as much as they do. So even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than tearing you down, I will not be ashamed of it. So Paul here is, again, he's going kind of on a, I don't want to say a bit of a tangent, but he's talking about how he is going to boast in his weaknesses for these people. So we have got people that have, and Paul writes extensively about this in many of his epistles, where there are people going around essentially for money, for honor, for whatever their motivations. They boast of themselves and they talk about how awesome they are and how people need to follow them. Nothing's new. Nothing's changed. We still have those people. Call them gurus or fake gurus now, right? There's endless numbers of people that will tell you, if you just do the three simple things that I do, then you'll be as rich and famous as I am. And there's all of these kind of pyramid scheme style frauds and craziness that goes on and always has. It always has, and it will continue to until the Lord returns. And so Paul is setting himself up opposite of these people that are coming through places like Corinth, where they're telling them, hey, you shouldn't listen to Paul. You should listen to us. We're the successful ones. We're the awesome ones. We're the ones with the Lord's favor on us because we've done all of these things and we're doing this. And you need to pay attention to us, not to Paul, right? And Paul is telling them, like, you're judging by what you can see. Like, they come in, they show up in flashy clothes and, you know, I could imagine, you know, people would judge things today. It's like, well, they've got a Lamborghini and a Bentley and all this kind of stuff. I mean, there's Instagram accounts where people will show off all of this flashiness to show how awesome they're doing. And what you don't know is that they've rented all of that stuff. They own none of it. They're deeply in debt and they're just lying. They're faking it to try and, like, build that audience and build that thing. Paul's saying you don't see what goes on behind the scenes. You can only see what you see, but you need to be able to judge as the Lord judges. And so if you're confident in that you belong to Christ, you should also be confident that we do as well, because we have served him and suffered for him. Verse 9, I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is so unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that we are, that what we are in our letters, when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. So Paul has already written several letters to the church of Corinth at this point. And so he's getting a reputation among them, and what we see from here is that they're saying, or he's been told that they're saying, that, you know, well, Paul is really timid and mild when he's here in person, but the way that he writes when he's gone is 100% different than how he is. It's like, you know, why is that? And so the idea here that Paul is conveying is, for those of you that might think that it will remain that way, and that you feel like you're learning that, well, we can just do whatever we want. When he's here, he's not going to make a big stink. And when he's gone, he'll write angry letters. Well, we can just continue doing the things that he's telling us to stop, or whatever. Paul's saying, that's not going to continue, right? This next time, if I show up and it's not, if you're not changing, then the way that I've been in my letters, forceful, I'm going to be in person. Like, I'm actually going to address these things. They're so necessary to address. So Paul is now kind of shifting and saying, you know, don't listen to the fake guru people. Listen to me. And let me tell you, when I come, if all of the nonsense that I've written to you about many times is still going on, I am going to be quite forceful in dealing with those things. I don't know if we have something similar to even think of nowadays. I don't know if we have the same kind of apostolic leadership. I'm sure there are people that will act who've acted like this. But as far as any examples of people who I think legitimately would say, you know, if you don't change this until I come, when I come, I'm going to be as forceful in my letters. We live in an era where we have so much instant communication and we can even FaceTime and do Skype meetings and all the kind of stuff now. I don't know if something quite like this exists, certainly not in the West. But I do know of places like this out in the mission fields where things are still remote. It's not that even the third world is very high tech now. I'll never forget a few years ago, I was having a Skype call with a very good friend of mine who's a missionary in Southeast Asia. And I was talking to him, and as I'm chatting with him on the video chat, there's these beautiful palm trees up against the hill blowing in the background of him. And I was just like, man, that is so beautiful where you are. He's like, oh, that's nothing. He's like, look at this. He turns his laptop around so that I can see the bay that he's sitting in front of. And it was just the most beautiful, crystal clear blue water. I mean, it was something out of a dream, out of idealized movie or whatever. It was just the most beautiful place imaginable. And that's where he's sitting as we're having this Skype conversation from the center of the United States, where it was like 0 degrees Fahrenheit. And he's over there on the other side of the earth. So there's technology, but because of religious persecution and things like that, there's times where things are difficult. And the same exact missionary, he had very similar things where he would have these calls and things like that, where he's had to be talking about having to be forceful, not wanting to be, pleading with people, you need to change. Look, and they were in this very similar circumstances where there were people coming around and, you know, trying to lead his leaders away. He had raised up a network of Christians in a matter of a few years. 600 people had come to know Jesus, not just through him, but through the leaders that he had led to Jesus and who were leading other people to Jesus. And then they were leading people to Jesus. So he had multiple leaders in these various places that were, you know, indigenous leaders leading the churches, but then other people came through and was like, no, you shouldn't listen to this guy, you should listen to us, and kind of led their hearts away and got them into some sinful circumstances and got them into some other stuff that was leading this church organization kind of down a bad path. And so he had to go, and he actually had to remove some of those people. And then there were all sorts of craziness went on because of it. But he was kind of a mild person in the way that he dealt with things, but he had to be very forceful when he went. So I think about things like that where you're on the kind of the frontier of missions. This stuff is still very real, but I can't come up with any way that this exists in our context in the Christian West, in the United States, for sure. I'm sure maybe it exists, but we have so many options of, well, if you don't like this church, you can go to the 16 that you passed on the way to the church that you currently attend. I mean, that's our reality here. That's not everyone's reality around the world. And I mean, I think there's probably some pros and cons to both. But one of the things about these other places, like this friend of mine who's been a missionary in Southeast Asia for a long time, is the Lord has moved powerfully. And the soul saving and winning movements that have gone on over there are truly amazing. Now the persecution is also incredible. I mean, I'm incredible in how bad it is. Like some of these places, they can't meet more than 5 people, more than five Christians at a time because it is so dangerous to meet in groups any larger than that. So this kind of stuff is still real, I guess is what I'm saying. But I've never personally seen it here in the United States. I don't know many people probably who have, but it still goes on. This kind of leadership still goes on around the world. And it comes from people not because they're going around saying, hey, I'm so successful, you should follow me. But it comes from the people saying, hey, I have labored with you. I've laid my life down for you. I've bled for you. I've lost sleep for you. I've been shipwrecked for you, right? We're going to see all these things from Paul. That's what he's appealing to here, not how awesome and flashy he is, but essentially, like he says here, how unimpressive he actually is, but because he's laid his life down for them. That's what matters in the Christian life, is that we are willing to lay our lives down for one another. Not that we're willing to come and show up and say, hey, look at how awesome I am, how flashy I am, how much money I've made, how many awesome things I've done. It's, are we willing to lay our lives down for each other? That's what we boast in. And that's who we should rally around. Those are the ones that we should pay careful attention, listen closely to what they have to teach us. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.